Welcome to Hey Ghost Hey, the podcast about ghosts, ghost hunting, and other paranormal phenomena of the Pacific Northwest. I am your host, Charles Crooks, owner, tour guide, and psychic of Bellingham Ghost Tours. We are here because I like ghosts a lot. Now let's begin. Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Hey Ghost Hey. And for this one, I am particularly excited because this is a location that I have wanted to get into for many years now, pretty much ever since I moved to Bellingham and ever since I really got into ghost hunting. It seems to be, I would say, one of our more iconic locations around town, just like Sycamore Square in Fairhaven is with the Lady in Green. I would say that the Mount Baker Theater has some of my favorite ghost stories of downtown, and just for the variety of stories that it has, as it's not just people, but there's also some animal possibilities going on too. So overall, just a very active building. And I am very lucky enough that I got the chance to spend 4 hours in there one morning and just checking out the entirety of the space. So thank you so much to the Mount Baker Theater for having me and even allowing me this possibility. And I'm really excited for what I have to share with you guys. So let's just jump right in at first with the history of the Mount Baker Theater. And this is going to be coming directly from the City of Bellingham's website. So here we go. The Mount Baker Theater was constructed in 1927 as part of the Fox West Coast Theater chain of film and vaudeville movie palaces. The same architect who created the Old Faithful Lodge in Yellowstone National Park, R.C. Reamer, designed Mount Baker Theater and 4 others, including the Fifth Avenue Theater in Seattle, in the Northwest region. After more than 60 years of continuous commercial operation and numerous ownership changes, the Mount Baker Theater has survived virtually unaltered. The visually dominant feature of this strikingly bright building is the red-tiled roof of the Marquee Tower that displays the theater's name. The theater was one of the first reinforced concrete structures in the Pacific Northwest. Another probable first the Mount Baker Theater can most likely claim is the nation's first installation of a Hope Jones Wurlitzer organ in 1927, still in regular use before screenings. To better accommodate a wide variety of performances, the depth dimension of the original stage has been increased from 26 feet to 40, the width of the stage remains the same. Before the Mount Baker Theater was placed on the National Historic List in 1978, the 1971 state legislature attempted to acquire it for Western Washington University, located in Bellingham, to ensure its protection. When plans were announced to split the auditorium in two in 1980, that would have ended all live performances, the public rallied to preserve this landmark. In 1983, a nonprofit corporation, the Mount Baker Theater Committee, formed and within a year purchased the theater, transferring the title to public ownership. Since then, the theater has undergone a series of alterations to improve its vitality. It was awarded a Historic Community Theater Development Grant in 1991 that allowed for safety repairs to the auditorium lights and restoration of the marquee and tower lighting. Minor alterations also occurred in 1993 and 1995. The Mount Baker Theater has been a charismatic trademark of the city of Bellingham since it was erected in 1927 and will continue to impress people as a national and local landmark. All right, thank you to the Bellingham City website for the history. But now let's just jump right into what is going on in the theater. And again, I would say that this is one of my favorite locations just because it has such a variety of ghost stories. So I think we're just going to start with all the different entities and kind of run through each and every one. So starting with the boss's room, which is kind of where it's just used as some offices. that has been known to have two different entities in there, both men and both in fancy suits. So the first one we believe to be known by the name of Jeffrey or Joffrey. I'm not 100% sure which one is 100% accurate on there, but he is seen as a man in a pinstripe suit. And then also in the same office, there's another gentleman that's also been seen in a full tuxedo. And it sounds like they're pretty particular about how they like the office kept. They like things to be nice and tidy. They like things kind of put back in their place, it sounds like. And when things are not quite up to their standards, it seems like they let it be known to the staff of the theater. So I found it interesting that when we started to go around the theater, there was definitely an air of making sure that we kept the ghosts happy and that we weren't really there to disrupt the order of things. And it really seems that the theater employees really just kind of embrace all the ghost stories and make it a part of their daily lives, which I think is absolutely fantastic. So we have the two gentlemen there in the office. It's also, there's an old safe in the office there, and it said that I believe the man in the tuxedo guards the safe. And then actually let's go to our most famous one, and she is known as Judy. And Judy's story goes is that she lived in one of the homes that was on kind of a sandstone bluff there before the theater was constructed. And so it said that Judy loved the theater, loved everything about it, and she passed away before her home was torn down, passed away of illness, and then the home was torn down for the theater. And then after her death, she decided to stick around in the theater. And then it said that Judy also loves the men of the theater, especially when they're alone at night. Now, when I got to go around the theater, I was told the pretty innocent story of Judy's touchings that are usually just a light touch on the back. But I have heard people on the tours come up to me and tell me stories of Judy where sometimes people get full on bear hugs from behind and then look down and see no one's arms there, which would be a little bit unsettling. And then some have also told me that there have been stories of some naughtier touches from Judy as well. So I definitely think she is one of the more notable figures within the theater that's kind of been a mainstay of ghosts. And then besides her, we've also got, there's believed to be a tap dancing child on the main stage. Don't have many details about him or his life, unfortunately. We also have the Ghost Panther. Again, that's another one that I mentioned on the tours. And while we really don't have any historical proof of the Ghost Panther, unfortunately, there's kind of a few stories of how it came to be. And so it is said that there was a big cat and pony show from a vaudeville group that was in residency at the theater. And they had a panther as part of that act. And then quite a few different variations that I found, at least on the panther. First story goes that the panther died and they just kind of wrapped it up in a sack, put it in the basement until they moved on. And then I've also heard two additional stories that the panther kind of similarly was kept in the basement, had its cage down there, but then passed away being a panther in a cage in the basement of the Pacific Northwest. But then we also have the possibility of the panther getting out, attacking a man, and being shot to death is another variation that I've heard. So unfortunately, no historical proof on those any way, shape, or form, but I have heard stories of the panther being seen on the main stage walking around when there's no shows going on. And I was told that a ghost hunting group from Seattle came up, and they kind of found that the panther in the basement was more of a residual energy than an intelligent energy, which honestly I'm okay with. For some reason, I find the idea of a ghost panther to be a little bit scarier than ghost people. I don't know, maybe it's the claws or the teeth, but no thank you. But other than the panther, going back to people, there was reportedly a woman named Alice who has passed away, and she likes to hang in the theater. I believe she had a heart attack. Yes, Alice Freeman, who had a heart attack in 1972, is said that she still hangs around, and sometimes people even leave tea for her in the green room and leaving her a cup every now and again. And then we also have Jonas Pepperton, who is called Johnny Boy. He's coming from 1935, and he was one of the original projectionists that would hang out in the projection booth above the theater there, and it's said that he really does not like people within his space. So I do believe that that is the majority of at least all the main known ghosts, but it does seem like that there are kind of a lot of spirits that like to come and go, and that there are kind of the theater's residential spirits as well. So as far as my investigation went, I wasn't necessarily looking to find anything new other than just kind of find evidence to validate the stories that are already there. And I would have to say, I do think that we found some interesting stuff, or at least kind of correlates with some of the history that was found. And so as far as the investigation went, after we learned a little bit about the history with a lovely woman by the name of Maureen, if you get a chance, please take a tour with her of the Mount Baker Theater. Sounds like she's been giving tours for many years now, and she is nothing but a wealth of information as far as the history of the tour or history of the theater goes, and a wealth of information on the tour. So we had a lovely introduction to the tour, to the theater with a tour from Maureen. And that's where we kind of got the lay of the land and just general information about everything. But then after that, we were kind of set free and went from there. So after the tour from Maureen, we were kind of set free and then had free reign of the place and got to check out where we wanted to go. And when I keep saying we, I'm referring to myself, and I had my friend Katie join me as well to be a helper and investigator for this, as we had a lot of technology going. I used two digital voice recorders, two video cameras on top of all the other regular equipment as well. And actually, I'm thinking I'm going to go to one of the pieces of equipment that gave a lot of evidence, and that was with the ovulus. And so the ovulus is a box that, when used, it has a dictionary inside of it. And then supposedly, when you have all sorts of changes in your environment, all those changes can then be associated with different words. So then it's said that spirits can kind of use these slight environmental changes to kind of kick out words and communicate with us. And so when I initially got the ovulus, I would say that there really wasn't much connection or correlation to when I would use it. Like maybe you'd get a word here and there that might correlate to what was going on, but overall it seemed pretty random. However, in the last few months, it seems to be really kicking out, or at least I don't know if it's just locations, but it really seems to be kicking out words that relate to where we are. And during the investigation of the Mount Baker Theater, the ovulus actually gave us quite a number of words that seemed to relate with what was going on. And so most notably, I would like to point out that the ovulus did bring up the name Alice twice while we were in the main theater. And again, going back to the history, it is believed that Alice Freeman, who passed away of a heart attack in 1972, still hangs out in the theater today. So other than those names mentioned, we really did not get any sort of confirmation that it was Alice, but it's definitely interesting to have that name mentioned and then have it correlate with the stories as well. And then that did not happen only the one time, but the second time, we got a very specific name when we were going up to the projection booth. And so this was our very first time going up to the projection booth on our own outside of the tour that we got at the beginning. And as we were climbing the stairs up there, the ovulus did kick out the word Johnny. And so once again, Jonas Pepperton was the man that we mentioned that liked to, or that was the former projectionist. And so to get, and his nickname was Johnny Boy. So to get the name Johnny as we're going up there is a very, very strong coincidence. And I definitely think that it maybe was kicking out some words related to some of the actual spirits that were found in there. A few other notable ovulus moments were when it had mentioned the carpet tone. And it's interesting because in the main theater, the carpet, it's the same design inside the theater and the lobby, but they're actually two different rolls of carpet, essentially. One was a little bit brighter than the other. So that was kind of interesting that carpet tone came through the ovulus. Another very interesting portion was when it seemed to mention a portal. So the first time it gave us the words metaphysic gateway, and then the second time it actually did mention the word portal. And so normally I try not to put too much energy into portals because I feel like they get kind of thrown around all willy-nilly and be named like demon gates and all sorts of other nonsense. But in this case, I do think that there might be something to it, or at least something to some sort of maybe energetic gateway within the theater of kind of where things can come and go. We seem to get the hits mainly in the main theater out towards the bottom of the stage and up on the stage when that happens. So it definitely seems that maybe there could be a little energy gateway kind of floating around the stage areas. I don't know, but definitely interesting. All right, let's just jump right in now to some of the evidence and what was found. So as far as the investigating goes, I say that we'd probably spend a lot of our time within the main theater. We did some searching around it down into the basement, and then also went up to the balcony, up to the projection room, and kind of around that whole area as well. But at least when we were investigating, I kind of got the sense that the main theater, at least around the stage, was one of the more active areas for us. Even when we went into the creepy kind of basement, it felt like maybe there was something down there at first, but then kind of dissipated very quickly. I also kind of got the sense that whatever was around us was more so curious to kind of see what we were doing. But I really think that the spirits that are around really just kind of like to hang around the staff, and that they're the ones that they are comfortable and familiar with. So I do think with us being there during the daytime while the staff was there, I really just get the sense that I think that whatever is there really likes to hang around the staff and be around who is familiar to them. And this is one of the first investigations where I actually did the video recording as well as the audio. And I do have some clips up on YouTube that I would like to share with everyone. And I will have that playlist linked in the episode description. So if you want to see some of the video clips, I believe most were of orbs, or two were of orbs. There was one that was a possible shadow figure. I'm not 100% sure if it was or not, or if it was just kind of the camera glitching out a little bit. And then the third one, or I'm sorry, I should say the fourth one, actually was some sounds that we had captured around us that were only on the camera and not on any of the audio recorders, which I thought to be pretty interesting, because usually if you get one on one thing, it generally shows up on everything. But in this case, we had some knocking noises around us that showed up on the video camera, but not on any other device. So once again, those are up on YouTube, and you can find the link in the episode description. But now I'm going to play for you guys pretty much the only EVP that I captured. And once again, EVP stands for electronic voice phenomena. And so when I usually get EVPs, we do not hear them with our ears at the time. They only show up on the recording. And so this one, I really don't have any kind of description for it. So I'm just going to play it first and let you guys hear it. And then let's talk about it. All right. So here we go.
Ooh, worm down there.
All right, so this was when Maureen was giving us a tour of the theater at the very beginning of the investigation. And you hear her mention about it being warm down there. But right after that, you hear kind of that weird voice almost I don't even know how to describe it. It to me, it doesn't really sound human, doesn't really sound quite animal, but it's kind of like a bear, like twice. I'm just going to play that for you guys twice more again. So here we go.
Ooh, worm down. Ooh, worm down.
All right, I've probably listened to that a million times by now, and I still have no idea what that noise is. I guess it kind of sounds like it could be a noise from a human, but I'm not quite sure. So for now, I'm just kind of calling it the Goblin of the Mount Baker Theater until I know anything better. Do I think there's actual goblins running around? Absolutely not, but I've got nothing better for the time being. So that's what I'm going with. Okay, so please do not forget to check out the video clips as well that are going to be linked in the episode description. Especially, I really want your input on the potential shadow figure or not. If it is a shadow figure that was maybe watching us, kind of peeking around a door corner, or if it was just a trick of the camera. So, would love your input. But all right, my friends, this is going to wrap up another episode of Hey Ghost, Hey! Thank you so, so much for being here. Thank you so much to the Mount Baker Theater for letting us get in there and kind of poke around and see what's going on. I definitely have to say, I think there is activity happening at the Mount Baker Theater, and I would love to check it out again. And who knows, maybe there's going to be a lot more to encounter next time compared to what I did this time. So you never know. Alrighty, just a reminder that winter tours are going for downtown and Fairhaven. So if you want to learn more about the ghosts happening around the Mount Baker Theater, you can join me to find out those stories. Otherwise, if you want more content, you can always look up Bellingham Ghost Tours on Instagram and TikTok. And that's it for this episode. So stay spooky, my friends.